He even knows the chapter. Yeah. This guy's good. John chapter 9. What were you going to say?
7.
John 7. All right. Well, we're in some of them for a while. But we're in John chapter 9. And man, guys, I love this account. You know, I remember the man back there in John 5. And the guy when, you know, Jesus healed him and, you know, he asked him, do you want to get made well? And the guy kind of shifts into excuses mode a little bit. And then he goes and kind of tattletales on Jesus. And, you know, Jesus has to say, hey, finds him, seeks him out, and says, you don't sin anymore so that, you know, nothing worse may befall you. You know, I know I read a little between the lines on that, but I just read that in side by side with the account of this guy in John 9. This guy's an amazing dude. This guy, he ain't going to go tattletale. That guy going to stand. And stand he does. So we get to read about the, a few weeks ago, about some of the healing that took place there. Let's pick it up. If you guys remember, actually, just to get a running start, we'll start in verse 13 and go through 27. We're really going to kind of pick it up around 18 forwards. But so John 9, beginning in verse 13. Everybody just read a verse until we get through 27. So, Mrs. Love, you've got 13 there?
Okay, they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind.
Now, it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the prayer and opened his eyes.
Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see.
Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them.
So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet.
The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and requested them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? And how does he see?
His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind.
But how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he would be put out of synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age, ask him.
So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner.
He therefore answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
He answered them, I told you already, and you did.
26.
So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become this disciple?
I love that. Oh, I love this guy.
Hey, come on. Let's all join in.
Now you got a little mad at that.
I love this dude. Well, that's where we're stopping tonight, guys. But if you remember the setting here, guys, what actually how this whole healing came about in the first place. It's when Jesus has to go and, you know, they pick up stones to stone him there at the end of John 8 for making the declaration, I am, right? For claiming to be Yahweh. And they get it. They think it's blasphemy. They pick up stones to stone him. And so he got to hide himself there from the temple. He heads out. And while he's kind of hitting those back streets, you can kind of picture it. They're basically, you know, running from the bad guys. Here he comes across this blind guy. And the questions come up. Because this isn't an accident. Just want to remind us all, keep our eyes open. Okay? God's got a big, big plan. He's working. Jesus recognized that. You know, this is not this guy sinned or his parents. This is so that, you know, God can do His works through him. So, you know, just I want to encourage me and all you guys. Remember, we have interactions all the time. And as people who are God's chosen people, these aren't accidental. It doesn't mean that they're all going to become Christian, but we are there for a reason, at any particular moment in time. And we want to step up and fulfill our purpose. So, you know, Jesus does his part, and what a strategist. You know, he spits and puts the clay in his eyes, and he sends this guy one way, and Jesus and the apostles, they're off another way. And so, where's all the attention going to go? To where this healed guy is. And Jesus gets away. I mean, we can learn so much from Christ. Just the way that he's very aware. Very aware, first of all, of the will of his Father, and also very aware of people. Understanding the way that people operate and making sure that Jesus is in, he's always working kind of a step ahead, you know, and that's the way we want to live our life. So we know then he tells him go to Siloam and wash, and there's a great spiritual lesson in that, that there's an expectation for us that we would do our part in order to be, we'll just say, healed of our spiritual blindness. And we too have to go to a pool, if you will, and wash. It's the Lord did the healing here. This is the way he had it set up. Same way we understand that the parallels there in reference to immersion. And but it just so happened that this was a Sabbath. The controversy, going to get fired. God doesn't allow these things to happen by accident. Sometimes I get the impression Jesus intentionally did some of these things on the Sabbath. And the opposition to Jesus, they're looking for any chance to get a hold of him. And the fact that he did it on a Sabbath, we can do something about it. And so that's, you guys remember, that's kind of the way this whole thing started. And they start grilling him trying to put pressure on him. And they aren't getting anywhere. He actually ends up saying in verse 17, they asked him, you know, what do you say about him? He said, he's a prophet. This guy's just using some common sense in accordance, you know, with faith. Nobody can do this kind of stuff unless they're legit. So, the Jews didn't believe it of him. And I kind of want to start here.
Somewhere back there, Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath.
Exactly. And he is. So, you know, the Jews didn't believe this guy's answer. Guys.
They didn't like it.
Exactly. Here is a man who was blind. Now he can see. And they're going to try to deny. Their first attack is, no, nothing really happened here. I want to contrast that a little bit. How many of you guys have ever heard stories? Oh, faith healer type stories. Did you ever notice? Almost all the ones I've heard was around some late night thing in Africa or somewhere around that. Like, you know, and this foot grew. You know, I've just heard these different stories, but it's always like some obscure, weird, impossible to document sort of scenario.
I used to watch, when I first started, didn't know nothing. I used to watch Paul and Jan Crouch.
I'm not familiar with them, but are they supposed faith healers?
Their daughter-in-law exposed the scam they were
running.
She was keeping the books.
Interesting.
Good on her.
Yeah, good for her.
Anyway, I saw Benny again. There's always somebody right there to catch him.
Yep. Give him the old slain in the spirit, bonk him on the head, and somebody's there to catch him, and you know.
But you won't catch any of them in the hospital.
No, exactly, exactly. And you know, so that's all stuff. I just thought of something. You said I saw. Next time somebody tells me they saw something like that, I'm gonna say, yeah, I saw a nose grow on Pinocchio one time too. A little double meaning there, right? What happens when you're lying? Be careful. But you know what Jesus did here, guys? What Jesus did here, this is completely documented. It's like nobody can argue. Here's the guy. But these guys don't want to believe it. And you know, Michael said they don't want to believe it. And you know, the reality of it is they're gonna crank up the pressure to try not to get anybody else to believe it, even though they've seen it with their own eyes. And you know, the forces of darkness are strong. And they will use intimidation. Exactly. Oh, the scare tactics, guys, in the world are just unbelievable. Just take the issue of homosexuality for a second. Why? Why do they find all these people and make these people go back and say, I'm sorry for saying this? And because they are creating such a public pressure. They are just sticking you in that pressure cooker and cranking it up so that Christians, or people at least who claim to be Christians, their goal is to scare Christians so they won't say anything about it. That's just one example.
I can't believe how many churches are making them.
Well, yeah. Look how many are now saying it's okay, even in their leadership.
They're preaching.
Exactly.
And their youth groups.
They're teaching children, and they're teaching children in the first and second grade.
Exactly.
You must tolerate.
Yeah, giving them.
It's
giving
okay
them,
for them to be like this.
Giving them lots of options in junior high. Wonderful. Yeah. You know. Okay. So, anyways, I don't want to veer off too much into that. But you know, they'll use intimidation. They'll throw you in lockdown. You know, they'll just finish you off. They'll kill you. I mean, that's the way the forces of darkness work. The pressure cranking up to try to scare people away from the truth. Romans 1:18 says it really well. It talks about at the Lord's coming that there's a day of wrath coming, particularly on this group of people, the wicked people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, suppression of truth happens. It's commonplace. He's just hiding stuff under the rug, trying to make a different story, trying to... You know, it was interesting. I don't know if any of you guys saw me on the news on election, the special election day. I ended up... Trinity, right? I ended up... I just draw this kind of attention to myself. And I'll save the story. But, you know, basically... I asked the reporters, I came out and I said, did you guys bring your boxing gloves? And they thought that was hilarious. And next thing you know, hey, tell us who you voted for and why. And, you know, so I got to talk, you know, I answered a couple questions for a couple minutes. Julie said I did good. She was with me and stuff. And, but you know, the part that they end up showing is this tiny little clip, right? That kind of will still fit their agenda. So, you know, you just realize it, guys, in any level, the things that are going to be done, this truth is going to be suppressed.
That's right.
And we see that going on here. These guys are trying to...
If you said GS 14, you're out.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. So. Anyways, but that's kind of irrelevant to our... That's irrelevant to what we're really working on tonight here.
Options,
but
the options are limited.
You know, but one thing I appreciate about the scripture, not only does it show us God's big plan and His hand moving, but it also shows us the nature of Satan and his conspiratorial efforts to block it. And we got to be aware of it. I was talking with Rod today, and just, you know, at a personal level, sometimes you find yourself, the saying, another level, another devil, right? You clear this and you're out. Oh yeah, I got this down. And then all of a sudden, it's like maybe just. I mean, it's kind of like a new part of ground in this battle. You're charging that next hill. You haven't charged it before. Well, you don't know where everything, you know, always where the enemy is on that thing. You know, you don't know where all the landmines are. Well, the scripture's here to kind of give us a big picture so we know Satan's going to be lurking around that next bend. You know, we got to be aware of it and realize. Because if we don't know our enemy, if you're blind to your enemy, he's going to take you out. And so I'm appreciative the scripture, you know, not only shows us God's hand, but shows us the opposition of Satan. And so here, you know, we see that now they're going to take it up. They didn't like his answer. And so they're going to ask the parents. And so they call on the parents and question them in verse 19. Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? Guys, what kind of questioning do you think this was? Do you think this was a...
Loaded.
Well said. And they know it, don't they? This is a pressure. This isn't a, like, get off the side, hey, I'm just curious about what really happened. No, this is a, hey, what happened with your son? Like, we went, and they've already, well, we read it. They're already, these guys are afraid. They're trembling. And so, what'd they say? We don't know. Yes, this is our son. What'd you say?
He's of age. Ask him.
He's of age. Ask him. We don't want...
Why should we answer? We don't know.
Exactly. And technically, they were right. They didn't know, other than what he had told them. You know, they didn't see it firsthand. But basically, they're like, we don't want this. They're afraid. Guys, fear. Fear something as Christians we got to overcome. I want you to go with me to Revelation 13 for just a second here. A little picture of this spiritual war in the book of Revelation. And we just don't have time to get into all of this, but I just want you to notice that from verse 4, just from verse 4, Revelation 13, verse 4. Marina, would you read that?
They worshipped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him?
Hey, no, we haven't gone into what all this beast is, but I'm just going to put this out here. This is governmental forces. And the governmental powers, the people's response is who is able to wage war with them. And the people cower before them. That's what this is about. So, you know, we see that there, and we see these parents who are afraid. And so, you know, it actually tells us this. They said this because they were afraid of the Jews. They had already agreed, if anyone should confess him to the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. Does this make you guys think of anything? Maybe back there in Revelation 13. Okay. Well, first of all, do you guys understand what it meant to be kicked out of the synagogue? Outcast. This doesn't mean, just mean you're... What'd you say?
Like when you're a Mormon in our day.
Yes.
Say the Mormons take you out. Or a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
Or a Catholic and you're excommunicated.
Yep. No,
so let's use the Mormons.
Thank you.
let's use the Mormons for a second because they are very intertwined group.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're I got some Mormon associates and they have very successful businesses. And they support each other very much in business.
Yeah.
Okay. If you get kicked out of that, or you choose to leave that, guess what happens?
Business tax.
Yeah. You are starting all over with zero clientele.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. Well, this was on this is the Jewish scale. This is the land of the Jews. This is like, basically, what other options do you... You're an outcast.
Yeah, where do you go?
Okay, you aren't going to be... Not only are you not allowed to go in there for the reading of the law and the prophets on the Sabbath, but who's going to be doing business with you?
Right.
I mean, you can probably line up and buy a loaf of bread somewhere, but you aren't... So these guys are afraid. Now, does this make any... Does this make you think of anything from Revelation 13? It's about buying or selling. You're not able to buy or sell unless you got the mark of the beast. Because I'm convinced this isn't some sort of tattoo stamped on your forehead. This is about being a sinner and associating with the sinners. And you take a stand for Christ and you don't worship the beast or his image. You worship Christ instead of cowering and bowing down before that. They're going to make it. You're going to be cast out of the system. Okay. So, I want you to feel the pressure here a little bit. Because it's coming. It's coming for us.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. That's good. The parents, though, they were afraid, weren't they?
Going to jail, you know, to me, that's an opportunity.
Yeah, and I think about that. Jail wouldn't be all that bad. And then have a friend of mine. One of my friends died in medium security federal pen, and they treated him well, even though he was for conspiracy against the federal government. Another one of my friends that died also in prison for very similar things, he was a little rougher around the edges the way that he took on the governmental authorities. Yeah. And he died in a prison / hospital. I'll let you think about what that means.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Okay. So, you know, family members weren't allowed to go see him, nothing. I mean, he probably always was on bad behavior from their perspective, knowing this guy.
But they put him in solitary.
And who knows what they did, you know. Do you guys remember that, just as an example, I'm not saying that what the Freemen did years back here in Montana was all right, okay? But do you guys remember when those guys first were trying to go on their fast beforehand? I mean, these guys were forcibly making them take stuff. But why? These guys weren't just fasting for religious purposes. They're fasting because they're afraid of what they're going to put in their stuff. I mean, we got to be aware of the nature of the battle that we face. That's why I think it's incredibly important, guys, that all of us be working on our inner man, too. You know, Maureen has done some work with some older people just for work, and, you know, it's amazing. When you get old and you start forgetting stuff, how much of that inner man comes out. So, and most of it isn't good with people.
Well, so. I don't know if it's because of my age, but what should I be afraid of?
I'm with you, Michael. That's what the Lord's trying to teach us.
How many times does Jesus say, do not be afraid?
Exactly. That's in my notes.
Come on, people.
The scripture repeatedly states.
Come and get me. Oh, well.
I actually heard something on the radio today, and I didn't go back and look it up, but some form of do not be afraid shows up 365 times in the Bible. One day, once. One for each day of the year. That's cool. I didn't check it out, but I did. I heard it.
I believe it.
So,
yeah, because fear can paralyze.
Exactly. Exactly. And the parents were afraid, and they were paralyzed, and they weren't going to say anything. So now again, I want you to notice what they do. Well, let's see the specifics of why they were afraid. Verse 22. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed, what? That if anyone should confess him to be the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. This is about confessing that Jesus is Christ. Guys, this is one of the things required for salvation, isn't it?
Yep. Absolutely.
And I don't think this is a one-time deal either. Anybody reads anything in the last week, month, year? ISIS?
Oh, you hear it on the news every day?
Yeah. Hey, you confess Jesus Christ in some places.
They'll chop your head off.
I've noticed they've been in the Philippines recently. I can't wait to go back in August.
They have it. They're over there, too.
So, you know, guys, it's common. In common, every one of us going to get it. What are you going to do? I had a Bible study one time with a guy, and we got to that, and was bringing out what it means to confess Jesus as Lord, and what that looks like, and the persecution that come. And I said, you know, in the first century, one thing, you know, they grab a kid, they hold him over the water. Jesus is Lord, what are you going to do? And he's like, this guy was like, well, certainly, you don't say it then, and then later you ask for forgiveness. Like, no. I was like, think about this for a second. If Jesus is Lord, where's that kid going to go anyways?
Right to the Lord.
But, I mean, these are things worth thinking through.
And teaching others.
And teaching others about.
I'm trying to teach that to my children. Because their children, and their children to come, it's like, of course, they don't listen. Yeah. Don't listen yet.
Keep on.
I'm not going to give up.
You know, another time, the band, I can't think of their name right now. they have some really godly songs, godly words. Like, I've heard them in the gym, and it's like straight scripture songs. But somebody asked them one time if they were, you know, if they were a Christian band. And they said, no, we're not a Christian band. We're just a mainstream band. That's why are you guys Christians? Oh, I think it was the group Creed. You guys ever heard any stuff by Creed? They got some words straight from the Bible, some of their stuff. But these guys, you know, they said, we think that's a personal question. Because Jesus doesn't allow confessing Him. Whether or not you're a Christian, Jesus doesn't allow to be a personal, it's not a private question. It's a public question. This guy's a great example. He's going to stand up. Okay. How about just for the sake of time, rapid fire. Can anybody think of, we don't have to turn there, but can anybody think of some times in the scripture that talk about the necessity of confessing that Jesus is Lord? It doesn't have to be a book, chapter, verse, but if you can kind of get going on any of these verses maybe that would say the importance of confessing Jesus is Lord. One of them was off God's Not Dead, if that helps you any.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. If you confess before men, I'll confess you. But you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father is in heaven. Very good. Jesus just straight up about that one.
So now when Peter denied him three times...
Thankfully, that's not when Peter kicked the bucket.
Right. So he had an opportunity to repent, didn't
yep.
he?
Yep, he did. He did. I will tell you guys this, though. Which, you know, it's a good point. I mean, and that was prior to Christ's resurrection, too.
Right.
And I want you guys... There is a difference, too. If you look in the Scriptures, prior to the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, you see some people that the Scripture actually calls secret disciples. Remember a guy named Joseph of Arimathea?
Yeah, Joseph of Arimathea is so...
Nicodemus. Both of those guys. And they're on this council. And they're part of the Pharisees. And they got to be careful. They're secret disciples. But after Acts 2, after following Christ's resurrection, and the gospel message is proclaimed, and from that time, there's no secret disciples. You're either in, or you're not in. But, I want to give you guys just a little warning here on that. Yes, you can. If the Lord gives you opportunity, you can repent. And you can come back and you can strengthen your resolve. I'll just say at a personal level, there's been times, it's not that I denied Christ, but there are times that I should have opened my mouth in a situation I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, hey, and you know, I need more boldness. Pray for boldness and get that so I'm ready next time. So we have opportunities, but I will give you just a personal example on something. Don't give yourself easy outs.
Yeah.
If you've done that once, it's easier to do it again and again. It gets easier and easier. You know, you quit in something. I think I've mentioned this before. One time I stepped off a track in a race that I was running. I was hurt, but I honestly should have stuck it out, because mentally, what that did for me, it made it easier to shut it down when pain was there. In your mind, shut it down in your mind. If you start giving yourself those out, so be, you know, basically, I'm encouraging you guys: confess Jesus Christ. Okay, don't chicken out. Because you chicken out, you become a chicken coward. That's right. What the scripture would say. Yeah. We know where cowards go. Caleb.
Well, I was just looking for verses in Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord." So that clearly means you're not just keeping it to yourself.
Exactly. Good. That's another one I was hoping somebody's going to remember. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Very good. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, he says, "You made the confession, good confession, in the front of many witnesses." And he said, and then he refers back to Jesus, who himself made the good confession in front of Pontius Pilate. And he did, didn't he? He actually just made the good confession before both of those, you know, the two main trials. He was in three, but didn't get asked that question. One of them. But so Jesus himself made that confession. We see examples throughout the scripture of the necessity of that. So Okay, the parents cave in. The parents cave in, but the blind man doesn't. So, you know, it is interesting to me that along the way, you know, the very first thing these guys try to do is, you know, basically they deny the story. He's being healed. Well, now, even though his parents won't confess Jesus as Lord, they did say he is our son and he was born blind. Well, they can't use that. Okay, something happened. You can't deny that. Okay, it's undeniable. So, but, you know, it is interesting to me. The fact that these guys didn't want to believe it in the first place, and now we're going to see him shift gears to another argument. Okay, that some, to I would say to most people, truth doesn't really matter. Most people are have this mentality, hey, my mind's made up, don't confuse me with the facts.
Even still today.
Even today. So we, first of all, we want to make sure we are the right kind of people, and then we're looking for people who are looking for truth. So now, I like this, now their next tactic here in verse 24. So, second time, they called the man who had been blind. They call him back in. Here we go, round two. And said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man's a sinner. Pay attention to this, guys. Leading the witness. Okay, well, yeah, you lucked out. Whatever. Give glory to God. Don't you dare give any glory to this man because he's a sinner. They're putting this false stuff out here of him being a sinner.
And they're talking about Christ.
I'm sure they're taking it off of he did this on the Sabbath. That's a sin. He broke the Sabbath. He's a sinner. So no glory to...
Either he's a sinner or not.
Beautiful, Michael. This guy does not fall for the bait.
Yeah.
I don't know. But this much I know. Guys, I'm going to encourage you guys as Christians. There will be all sorts of little... of people will throw out stuff to try to get you to argue about this other stuff. Stick with stuff you can prove. I'm probably as big of a conspiratorialist as most of you are. There's a few of you that outdo me here. So, but you know, on some of the conspiracy stuff, the only stuff I want to talk about with other people is stuff I can prove. Because I don't want to lose credibility with them from trying to talk about stuff I can't prove. We have a lot of stuff we can prove. It's the same thing with the scriptures. We don't want to get carried off into speculation stuff, do we? Stick with stuff. We can put this guy, one thing. This much I know. And he's going to start there from this ground, and he's not going to back away from that. And he's going to build his case from that point. Do not let people get you with false assumptions and then start reasoning down that path. There's something I've learned a little bit about... debate just from scriptural conversations and sometimes from getting whooped up on when I was a young guy a little bit, is if there's something the military has, I think, called rules of engagement.
I saw that movie.
Did you? I didn't see it. Okay. But, you know, I don't even know what it means for sure, but, you know, to me, if you're going into a certain... you have a strategic plan, and you are going to be within this framework. Well, if you let somebody that you're debating, if you let them set the rules of engagement, if you let them set the parameters, and they want you to argue inside this box, and you're not allowed to argue outside of this box, you can make any box where your arguments can win. So don't. What I'm encouraging you is be careful of people's boxes that they put out there.
Don't get drawn into it.
Step back and think about what's the real issue here, and what's the stuff we can prove. And that's what this guy did. And give him props for that. So, you know, by the way, you can't get, nobody can give glory to God without honoring Jesus. So they're way off here. Let's see what I want to get. Okay. Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, where I was blind, now I see. This guy's attitude, he has an attitude of gratitude. Somebody was talking about that up front recently. Thankful. We have so much, we have so much to be thankful for. And when you think about everything that Christ has done for you in your life, guys, how could you not stand up for him?
Amen to that.
So I think it starts with just being appreciative for what this guy, think about it, born blind, never seen a color in his life, never seen the sky, never seen the green grass, never seen people's eyes, all of a sudden this guy gets, he's thankful. He has a great attitude.
His whole life, we don't know, was he 38?
Yeah, we don't know how old he was. But however old he was, he'd never seen it. He's not this, didn't have any memories to go back to. And all of a sudden, he can see, and he's appreciative for that. And so he's sticking up for him. Guys, we should have an attitude of gratitude, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just was thinking one way to show our thanks is to stick up for Jesus. You know, he died and lives for us. Shouldn't we be willing to live and die for him?
Absolutely.
So let's stand our ground. So now they come back, okay, they come back to him. Well, he didn't buy that one. So they said to him in verse 26, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I love the way Michael read this. I told you already. And you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You want to become his disciple also? I think he knows they don't want to. By their line of questioning. You know, this man's a sinner. But he's going for it. He's making a push here. And, you know, our guy definitely has courage.
It's almost like he's saying to him, I'm looking at the sinner right in front of me.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love this, and I think we all did. We all kind of almost started clapping when we finished reading this. This guy is awesome what he did. Because we can follow the example of the apostles. You guys remember Jesus had told them specifically, he said, you guys are going to stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. We don't know which ones of us. Okay? And, you know, maybe it is for governors and kings. Maybe it's for your cellmate. You know, maybe it's for the, you know, right now it's for your coworker. It's for your neighbor. It's for, like, are the ones to do this.
For somebody you see on the street.
Yeah, be friendly and get a chance to talk to them about Jesus, and then take that. Do you guys remember Paul before? Finally, he ends up a series of things. I think Felix Festus Agrippa, before King Agrippa. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's pushing Agrippa.
Oh yeah.
He's like, you know, as he's telling the account of Christ, Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. Like I know, like Agrippa, you know about this. You know this is legit. And Agrippa finally, you know, because who? What was it, Michael? Was it Festus at this point in time?
Yeah.
That said, your great learning's driving you mad. Mm-hmm. And Paul's like, no, I'm not mad. And that's where he tells Agrippa, you know, you believe in. And Agrippa says, in a short time, you'll persuade me to be a Christian.
That's right.
All right. That's our goal. It's our mission. So we want to take a stand for Christ. And guys, just kind of closing this up. What Christ has done for us, what Christ did for this guy, this wasn't just a merely passing thank you. At least he was, you know, I don't even see a thank you from the guy in John 5. This isn't just a merely passing thank you. This is a guy who's willing to express his gratitude by sticking up for Jesus. And as we read on, we're going to get to the next couple of weeks. You know, Jesus comes to him and, you know, do you believe in the Son of Man? And his just response is, well, I don't know. No, his response is, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Like, this guy's in. He is all in. And that's the way that we want to be. And, let's just think about this. Weren't we once blind? We didn't know the truth. We were misled. We were held captive by deception. You know, empty philosophy. All the coffee shop arguments. Or, you know, encouragements, whatever. That, you know, we just tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. We couldn't even distinguish truth from lies.
When I was younger, it was like Bible. People wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you know what it means?
Yeah, exactly. And we were all in one form or another, guys. We were in that spot, and Christ has opened our eyes. Have you noticed? Not only do you understand this now, and you understand God, but have you noticed it's like pulling the curtain back, and you see everything for what it actually is now. It's amazing. Because before, now it's like all of a sudden you can see from the perspective of the throne of heaven, and you see stuff for what it is. God's been really, really, really good to us. And so we want to be thankful to Him. You know, this guy had the courage to confess Jesus Christ, and that was without the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Hey, what kind of spirit have we received? What kind of spirit does the Scripture say we have not received? We have not received a spirit of what?
Timidity.
Timidity. What's that mean? Timidity is right.
Timidity.
Yeah.
Timor fear.
Exactly. He didn't say humidity. Okay. We haven't received a spirit of timidity. We haven't received a spirit of being afraid, have we? But of power and love and discipline. We got the spirit. Let's confess Jesus is Christ. Would you close the word prayer?
Absolutely.
Boom it out because the group's going out.